gentlemen, step it right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a road runner, honey.
Welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We got a big show lined up for you today, so I hope you can keep up with it. You usually can. All right, we are here. We're live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And that means you can be a part of today's action right here on the air. All you have to do is give us a call at 407-774-8255. Nick, the marathon man, Lo Cicero, is on the bridge. Got the union boss economist across the table from me. That'd be Michael McBath. I am Christopher, the philosopher. That's a mouthful there. Philosopher. The symbol is better. The symbol for philosophy is a zero with a line through it, right? Like a nothing, right? Anyway.
Well, you know what? Most of them pontificate. That might be the right symbol, you know?
Yeah, for some reason I'm not hearing Mike's mic. Is it not working? You got the wrong mic, Mike.
Nick. Oh, they cross me. There they go, Nick. Yeah. I think Nick planned this.
You think you would know your color.
The marathon man, too, you know?
You think you would know your color of microphone by now, right?
You would hope.
By the way, Mike is on the black mic. Mm-hmm. I'm on the green, Mike.
I was going to say, that sounds pretty racial to me, Chris.
All right, that's Mike McBath. I am, as I said, trying to say, the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. And today we have in the studio a special guest, and she is a newly elected and newly empowered, newly on the job, and newly making a ripple, making a wave, if you will, and that'd be Abby Sanchez, Seminole Hello. County School Board.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Excellent. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right. Well,
been a busy week.
It has been, and I see that you're included in a story that was ran on the front page of today's Orlando Sentinel.
That's correct.
Yes.
We had a
little action last night.
That's for sure. We've been trying to rezone schools.
Yeah.
And so since November, we've had public hearings, and our communities have been
fighting about
their input.
It. And it kind of came to a culmination last night, right?
Exactly. Last night was our voting night.
All right. Well, listen, Abby's going to stick around for a while. If you have some questions about it, she's going to fill us in on exactly what happened last night and why she took the stand that she took against the rest of the school board.
Correct.
How about that? We knew we
Abby's
were behind.
A tough, remember a few months ago, she's a tough woman. Okay. I like it. I remember we were 100% for her to be on the board.
Well, thank
That's
you.
Absolutely
I appreciate
right.
all your support.
That's right. And it's paying off, you know.
That's right.
The outsiders, as it were, even though you're a teacher, you're the only teacher on the school board, so you are an outsider on that gang. The outsiders are definitely making a difference.
Chris, don't you laugh about that? She's the only teacher on the school board.
Well, it's not so unusual.
No, I know, but it should. You know, I would hate to see a school board without one or two teachers on.
Every single school board.
I know. I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how do they know actually what's going on in their own local schools if they don't have anybody on the board?
All right.
Right.
Before we get to the phone lines and that story, there was big action on the market today. Finally, the 20,000-point mark was broken through solidly.
What's great about this is not only does Trump make America great again, he's also making America rich again. I mean, the reality of how much this market's moved up, you know, since his election. Imagine what this has done to the workers' pension plans, the unions' pension plans, you know, everybody's livelihood. But, you know, we closed it at 20,068, you know, so we broke through 20,000 a day. Obviously, everybody's celebrating about it. We were up 155 points. Now, you know, some of the things that are obviously moving this market. Now, gold backed off the day. You know, the market runs strong,
but gold backs off. But that's not why the market went up.
No.
All right. Why did the market go up?
Well,
let's get right down to
business. Okay, the market's
going
up, obviously, in anticipation of all these great things that are coming about economically. You know, tax cuts, deregulation, energy.
If you could sum it up in one word, why is
Donald Trump? I didn't want to say that.
Two words, okay.
I want to give some reasons besides I get to the real reason. But it is. It's the excitement of Donald Trump. I mean, this is what's moving the market because markets move, you know, they're psychological. If people believe that that's what's happening, they're going to jump in there. Now, what we need in the next few months is the earnings that catch up to where the market is. And then we really got a solid market. And until we see this, we're seeing earnings coming out right now, like AT&T's came out with theirs today, which were so-so. But again, interest rates today. Remember, we talk about the 10-year Treasury all the time. You know Lafler from the Lafler curve.
Lafler.
Well, he was on the day, and like the 10-year Treasury crossed 250 again. It was all the way down to about 227 about a week ago.
Right.
But if we get all the stimulus that we are seeing, which is moving the market and getting all the businesses excited because a lot of money is going to be spent, what's going to happen to interest rates? They're probably going to have to go up. Now, the question is, as long as the 10-year Treasury probably slows down around 3.25, I think the market will be pretty solid. But if the 10-year Treasury were to run up to 4.5% to 6.5%, that means money market funds, which the poor average American has been stuck at under Obama at about an eighth of 1% for the last 8 years, they're going to be paying 4% and 5%, which is actually good for
a healthy income.
For the poor retired people who miss both things. They got the lousiest yields because they were scared to go into market. Now the market goes up, and now, you know, rates, I mean, they missed everything.
And here's why I think that it happened today. Because nothing else is going on. See, I'll beg.
He's the show.
Well, exactly. And that's why I'll beg to differ with you on one point that you said the earnings are going to be, if the earnings need to
they
catch
need
up.
To trail.
I think they got a couple of three quarters to let that play out.
Oh, it's going to take a while.
Because right now the markets are watching Washington, D.C.
Right.
That's where all of the attention is, actually all the whole world, but especially on Wall Street and in the money markets, they're watching Washington, D.C. to see because that's where the action is. And let's examine just a little bit what happened yesterday. Remember, in the morning, he had the auto executives in there.
Right.
Let me back up. This was Monday, I think.
Right.
Or he had the union in there one day. He had the auto executives in there. They both came out glowing.
Right.
That's a good sign.
Extremely
right
positive.
There. All right. And then yesterday he signs the executive orders to restart the building of the Keystone and the Dakota pipelines.
Right. Extremely positive.
And I didn't find this out until after the show in that he specifies that the pipe
must be U.S.
U.S. made.
USA. USA.
And
right.
any steel that is right. used for superstructure of that US. Sort of thing has to come to the United States.
Right.
Because, you know, the Canadians are mm-hmm. really building this thing for mm-hmm. the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So he's and so they're watching all this and they're going, Yahoo, baby, let's ride this. Let's ride this pony. We can make some real deal money here. See, they've been making funny money before.
Right.
Right, where the Fed and the Treasury was they just printing.
No, they're just playing games up
right,
to now.
Right, the QE1 through 4 or 5 right. or however many times they did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is real money, which is going to be based on people producing real things. And they're talking about these pipelines creating about 28,000-30,000 jobs. And then, of course, you have the ancillary businesses that pop up
oh,
from
right.
that.
Restaurants and auto sales and housing and everything else associated. It mushrooms in the economy, the acceleration
right.
of the dollar.
Right.
You know, everything moves very nicely. Plus the day, because of the announcements today, which, again, what it's showing is Trump is going to do exactly
what
he said he was going to do.
How about that?
Which is something we've never seen from a politician,
and
at least in my lifetime.
And not just make an effort to do it,
right.
but
he's
to
doing
do it.
It.
Exactly.
And what I like, Chris, don't you, is, I mean, he's so personal into this, into these things. You know, Obama was so aloof, he might sign something, run out, and go hit some golf balls. You know, Trump doesn't even know what a golf club looks like. You know, he's out there, work.
Oh, wait
you
a
know.
Minute now. He
no,
knows,
he does.
He
I know
knows.
He knows what a dollar bill looks like.
Yeah.
I know that. You know?
Well, he plays a pretty good game of golf, too, yeah. supposedly. I don't know.
So does Obama.
He certainly knows his way around the golf yeah. course, that's for sure. We're going to get into a little bit more what he did today. He visited the Department of Homeland Security, along with his new secretary, Jack Kelly, General Kelly.
Right.
And signed a couple of more important executive orders, following through on a couple of more big-time promises
right.
that he was ridiculed and laughed at when he made them. And who's laughing now, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk about all that. But when we come back, we want to find out what happened last night at the Seminole County School Board meeting. And no better way to do that than to talk to somebody who was right there on the Seminole County School Board, Abby Sanchez. So stick around. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Miller from MyLibertyThreads.com. I've developed an American-made t-shirt brand that helps conservative Americans express themselves. I've traveled the country extensively over the last 3 years, helping proud Americans everywhere get their points across. As friends of the American Adversaries program, we're offering promotion for all the listeners of this show. All you have to do is check out our website at MyLibertyThreads.com and enter promo code AAR2014 on any purchase you make, and you'll save $3. That's $3 just by entering AAR2014. All caps. That's MyLibertyThreads.com. And remember, American-made t-shirts just feel better.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepard. Jerry and his wife, Jana, own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service, a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look it over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Not getting any better on I-4 eastbound. Slow Kirkman Road to the Turnpike and then heavy Conroy to Lee Road. Lee to Lake Mary is slow and heavy now at the bridge. On the westbound side, still dealing with a crash before the Turnpike. Heavy from Fairbanks to the Turnpike. Slow Beachline to 535 and heavy past 192. 408 eastbound, Mercy Drive now to I-4. You're on the brakes. Along Alafaya Trail, we've still got a crash at Colonial with a lane blocked and major delays at Waterford Lakes Parkway from a crash there. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105. 5.5 on AM 660, The Answer.
All If you're searching for the truth, you've come to the right place. You have found the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We're ready to go. Let's go to the phone lines because Andrea has been patiently waiting, and I don't want to make her wait 1 second longer. Andrea.
Hello?
Hey, Andrea, how are you tonight?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Andrea.
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right.
I personally am now a Trump supporter. I previously was not during the election. I do have a couple questions for you because I'm new to the politics situation.
Can I ask you to hold it right there for a second?
Sure.
You said you were not through the election, but you are now a Trump supporter.
Correct.
Okay. But were you a Republican all the time?
Well, I have
been registered as Republican since I was 18, but I had not voted for a president with my own real opinion before.
Okay.
I had actually formed my opinion this year.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear about that. I thought I heard
that. No
problem. I wanted to be clear about it. Okay.
No, even on election night, I still found myself, I didn't like either, but I found myself hoping that she would win. And
okay.
Now the next day I Googled everything and I totally regret that feeling.
Okay.
Now,
all right. We all make mistakes. Right. Go ahead.
I have one question, but I want two answers. One is your opinion and on what you believe that should be the answer and what you think that Donald Trump will try to do, not necessarily what you think he will want to do. What I am nervous. This is the only thing that concerns me. Do you believe or think that Donald Trump will make it illegal to get an abortion for a woman who will die or could die from a pregnancy?
No.
Yeah, that's going to be my answer, too, right?
Now, what is possible, you're going to hear a lot of talk about this happening. He is going to make a Supreme Court justice pick next Thursday. That will not change anything on the Supreme Court, other than that it won't be an 8-8 tie or possibly a 4-4 tie anymore. But it doesn't swing the court toward the conservatives because he's going to be replacing a conservative justice with a conservative justice. So nothing will change. But if Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Stephen Breyer or one of the other justices, even Kennedy, who's on the fence a lot, if one of them retires, or heaven forbid, one of them dies while Trump's still in office and he appoints another strong conservative, here's what could happen. A case could come before the Supreme Court where they revisit Roe v. Wade. And the problem with Roe v. Wade is that it was not based on good law. If you follow what I'm saying, I don't want to get into the details. But
I do.
Okay, it's not based on good law. So they have an opening to rescind Roe v. Wade. But they cannot and they will not take the power away from the states to do what they want. And the states,
that's what I thought was true, and I've been trying to convince my own friends and family, is that it should be up to the states, and the fact that everyone seems to be, you know, just blocking conversation on this subject and saying, oh, well, then you're the devil, you know, and when in the reality is, and regarding many things, not just abortion, you know, it is supposed to go to the states. And we don't want the federal government deciding for all of us, all of the states, what we want to do with our children or a possibility of our lives. So I totally get behind that. But what worries me is that happening just because of the hysteria. I saw the article that said that due to the gag rule, that all these women were going to die all over the world because of it.
Because they
were going to have these pregnancies, and that is what scared me, and it was a scare tactic.
I don't appreciate
those scare tactics, and I don't think any of you or any of us should fall for them.
No, we don't around here.
Nobody's that evil.
Right.
The bottom line is you're right all along, but yeah, we don't fall for it around here, and you know, logical, common sense thinking people don't fall for it either. I'm sorry, but that doesn't prevent the evil from being spread, and it's being spread by people who have mostly political motivations and aren't even aware in a lot of their cases how they are spreading evil in our world. But they have a right to voice their opinions. They have a right to say what they want, even as bizarre as it may be. But, you know, in cases like this, the more bizarre it is, the easier it is to point out that that's just lunacy.
You know, the other thing, Chris, think if he has a counseling group, right? Who's his counseling group? Ivanka, his wife, the other women that are associated with the family. Do you think they're not inputting thoughts and ideas into his head? Do you think they're evil people? They've proven to be very logical, normal.
Here's the bottom line. At the end of the day, other than the fact that he can appoint Supreme Court justices, it really is out of his hands. And it's in the hands of the Constitution. And the Constitution says very clearly that these issues are to be decided state by state.
Right.
And the people who control the political machinery in a particular state can do it their way, but not force that on the rest of the states.
And too much micromanagement.
And
thank you again for having me. And, you know, I am 28. I'm a millennial.
Wow.
I wanted to let you know that we're not all crazy. We're not all liberals, even if we're girls. And, you know, some of
at least she's come
brains.
Over from the dark side.
So
that's what's good.
You're not a nasty woman. No. Okay, well.
28, that's funny.
Hey, Andrea, have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
And I have not, but I've always wanted to go.
Well, I tell you what, if you'll leave your address, we'll send you a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. Really, we will. All right.
That's so exciting.
All right.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
Yeah, it's your day, Andrea.
That's right.
Yay.
And we do hold out hope for everybody.
That's right.
You should.
We don't see anybody as irredeemable around here.
But isn't that refreshing?
Right. Thank you, Andrea. Have a great day.
A millennial comes across to the Trump side. That's so refreshing, but they're just educating themselves.
That's
they understand.
The bottom line. Did you hear what she said
right.
changed her?
Once I learned.
Once she, exactly. Once she learned,
yep.
Exactly right. All right, speaking of learning, Abby Sanchez is in the studio with us, and she is. You're once again, fill in the folks as to, you know, a little bit of your background.
All right.
Hold on a second, we got to get your mic up. Nick, I'm sorry. Okay, he's on the phone with Andrea, but we'll get your microphone up here in a second. While we're doing this, go ahead, Abby. I'm sorry.
All right, my name is Abby Sanchez, and I've been wanting to run for a school board for quite some time, and now I'm a newly elected school board member, but I have been a classroom teacher for 26 years.
Tell everybody why you got elected, and not us. I mean, what you did to get elected.
I walked house to house.
How many houses?
500 homes a night.
500
wow.
a night.
From
That's
January
such a great story,
until
though.
August 30th.
You were out there in Grant Molloy, and probably crossing paths every now and then, right?
Exactly. We definitely were. And
he's doing a great job, too, by the way. Yeah.
He is.
And so now you're.
Earlier.
You won.
And I won.
And you're on the board.
I am on the board and the only teacher on the school board. We do have one that has an education background, but has never been in the classroom. And, you know, I think that it's important to have a diverse background on school boards, but I think that every school board should have at least one teacher on the school board. And that should be something that should be prerequisite for every school.
And it also wouldn't be a bad idea to do something that you've decided to do, and that is spend a day a week in a classroom?
Yes, exactly. What I'm doing is called You Deserve a Break, Take a Mental Health Day. So right now, our county is trying to keep some of the teachers from not having as many days out of the classroom.
Right.
And even though they get 10 days to do what they need to do.
This would be a way to help them.
But this is a way for them.
More importantly, though, it would be a way for the school board to see what actually goes on inside a classroom. All right.
Right.
We got to take a break. Abby's going to stick around with us. If you have some questions for her, you might have seen the article in the front page of today's Orlando Sentinel. We'll get into that and what she has plans and what she's going to try to do as a school board member. So stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
And you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tuna fruity.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. We're live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. And, of course, you can always listen to this programming on AM660TheAnswer.com or download the free WORL FM AM app into your smart device. All kind of ways you can take us with you wherever you go and wherever you are. Thank you for listening. I am Christopher Hart in the studio with Michael McBath and Abby Sanchez.
Hello.
Who is, once again, school board member, Seminole County, newly elected. And we were talking before the break, you just sort of lead up as to what was going on last night, what's going on right now in the county. And that is that since being elected, you're spending a day a week giving a teacher somewhere around
Correct.
The county a break.
Not just teachers. I'll even be a janitor for the day. I'll be a bus monitor, a parapro, a secretary.
Yeah.
You name it, I'll do it. I don't have a problem scrubbing toilets either.
Oh, wow.
Well, we got a job for you, Abby. I was going to say.
Nothing is beneath me.
Yeah.
And I know what happened is, as a teacher and being in the classroom, we knew when the school board members would come through our room. And it was a dog and pony show. Yeah. So you kind of bribe the kids and make sure they're in the best behavior, if you knew that it was a surprise visit. Before they even stepped foot on the grounds, there was a phone
pipeline.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You automatically knew, okay, here they are. And they didn't see exactly what actually was going on in the classroom. And you really couldn't stop and talk to the teachers and really get their input. And you really wouldn't want to. You wouldn't want to interrupt their day.
Right.
So I thought, you know what? Teachers need a break, or anybody, any of the faculty members. You deserve a break. Take a mental health day. And they are wearing so many different they're wearing so many different hats right now and having to do so many different meetings and trying to do their PLC meetings and their data meetings and have grade papers and conference with the parents and meet with other teachers. And they don't have a chance to even teach anymore and do their lesson plans. That I thought, well, you know what? If they want to go in the back of the room and do all that, they could do that. Or if they want to go and to the doctors or get their hair done. I don't care. Whatever they want to do, give them a break.
Do the other school board members know you're doing this now?
I believe so. Yes.
Do you think that they should perhaps do that? And not just them, but say every school board.
Well, board as well as anybody as executive directors. And I know that they do come into schools for short periods of time and do literacy readings. Like tomorrow I'll be reading at
But they never actually go to the end of the line, so to speak.
All day long.
And for one day, at least, and see what the effect of their decision-making is. They never do that.
And I would like to see the legislators do it as well.
Right. See, you're looking at it. You're looking at it, and you're explaining it from the perspective of you're going to give the teachers a break and all that. And that's great.
Right.
I mean, that's cool. But what would be even cooler is if people who have never taught a class in their life, but yet sit on school boards, would have to spend at least a day, maybe a day a month,
right.
or a day a year, for heaven's sake, is better than never at all, in a real-deal classroom, under real-deal circumstances, having to deal with their real-deal decisions.
Exactly. And they're not even having to deal with anything but the lesson plan, so they're not having to set up the lesson plans or grade the papers or do any of the other stuff. But just to see an average day of what you have to deal with, and the frustrations, or maybe a child, you know, had a really bad night and had a fight with their parent, and you're having to deal with that situation, and how are you able to talk to them and at the same time teach the lesson that you need to teach?
All right. I mean, how do you get the parents more involved with the child? You know, I mean, as I said, my wife is a volunteer teaching kids how to read in schools, and the parents just don't care about their kids,
A lot of them don't.
I'm just saying the ones you're usually teaching and have the difficulties.
And what I do as a teacher, and I'd like to see every teacher do this, and I know some do, and we have what's called positive behavior system in place in our county, and it's a wonderful program that's throughout the state as well. And we actually honored some schools that do this, and we feed off the positive. So what I suggest teachers to do on a daily basis is, instead of calling the parents for Johnny was bad, or he did this today, make 5 sunshine calls a night. Or if you can't do that, 5 sunshine calls a week. And so when that phone rings, the child's not thinking, oh my gosh, it's about something negative.
Like it wasn't my house.
And so when you have that positive, guess what? Johnny did today. He helped another student sound out words, and they were reading together, and they were helping each other. And when that happens, a lot of the students tend to want to please the teachers as well as their family. And sometimes when we collaborate and work together, that helps. And then if you communicate with them on a daily basis or at least weekly basis, it really helps. So
all right,
that's just okay. one way I think it could help.
All right. Good. You're talking about positive reinforcement. You're talking about working with parents.
Right.
Of course, that's made more difficult when the kids keep getting shuffled around.
Right.
And that's what the meeting was about last night. Was last night your first school board meeting?
No, this was my third. But last night was my first major voting on an issue like rezoning.
And just out of curiosity, what went on in the first two?
Well, the first one was just when I was inducted, and it was a very short meeting and basically went over the minutes and the agenda, and that was about it. Second meeting, same thing, but we also had a public hearing where we were able to hear the comments from the communities that were involved in the rezoning of the six elementary schools.
You heard that in the second meeting?
Yes.
And what was the overwhelming, was there an overwhelming feeling amongst the parents?
Overwhelmingly, most of the parents that were there did not want their children rezoned or shuffled around or dismantled from their communities.
Okay, so
they wanted to see consistency. Some had actually been rezoned prior to a couple of children actually were rezoned within the past few years. So those children have been to one or two schools beforehand. And, you know, that was a factor. We had a lot of emails based on that as well.
So there was a lead up to last night's meeting.
Correct. And we had a lot of emails as well.
Where parents had a chance to express themselves, and the majority of the expression was, please don't do this.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then the meeting last night.
Then the meeting last night, we also had a public hearing before our regular school board meeting. So at 4 o'clock, we had public hearing where we had the news there, and Orlando Sentinel was there as well. And we gave everybody their 3 minutes or 5 minutes, depending upon if it was a PowerPoint presentation, to voice their concerns to us, to explain to us why they were not happy about this rezoning.
So, and the paper makes this clear that as they say, dozens of parents attended. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. And that they pleaded with the board members not to force their children out of their current schools.
Correct.
So pretty much they all said, once again, please don't do this.
And, you know, I know we need to rezone. And I'm not denying the fact that our schools are not overcrowded, because we do have schools that are overcrowded. I am not happy with the way it went down. And that's where I'm at. I don't like the way the plan was put in place and how we rushed through it, and how some neighborhoods were literally blocks away from a school and they were being bused 5 or 6 miles away, and it was taking them 30 minutes to get to a new school. Or that's what's going to happen now.
That's what's going to happen now.
Right.
And some of these kids had already been reshuffled once.
Right.
And this is brought out in today's Orlando Sentinel article. Once again, right on the front page, above the fold, as they say.
Right. I want to revisit it and take it slowly and, you know, think about it.
So after everyone spoke, then what, they hold the vote?
Yes, that's what they do. And we even had developers that spoke, even some land that has not even been built on yet, talking about that they would not be completed with their land developed till 2021. And we were still having to deal with the fact that everybody was going to have to be shuffled around. I didn't think we were transparent at all.
In other words, the developers are saying you're going to have to do this again in a couple of years.
Correct.
Right.
We have other developments going up all over the county,
right,
which is a great thing that everybody wants to be in our county.
Right.
That's a great thing.
Right. But I guess your opinion is, don't keep doing this in piecemeal. Try to come up with a more comprehensive outlook.
Exactly. Let's do it effectively. Let's revisit the issue. Let's take some time and also collaborate with everybody, making sure that we have an interlocal committee together, that everybody's representing their communities, and we can discuss it. This way, everybody has a voice, so we can make sure that we can advocate for our children.
Do you think, and I don't, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but do you think that your colleagues are aware that doing things contrary to what the public is pleading for them to do or not to do is why a guy named Trump got elected president of the United States? In other words, if they're not listening to the public, do they not understand that the public is tired of that now?
Well, I know that they want, they stated numerous times in the meeting that, you know, that we have to draw the line somewhere, and not everybody was going to be happy with the and it wasn't going to be a popular decision, and but that we have to draw the line somewhere. They reiterated that numerous times. But at the same time, I'm not sure.
Well, see, now this is also tied in with the reopening of Longwood Elementary, is it not?
That's exactly what it's for.
Right. And Longwood Elementary was closed down about 8 years ago.
6 years ago.
6 years ago. And is the demand really there, or could these other schools for another year or two absorb the extra students that they predict to come along?
Well, supposedly the demand is there, and we do need to open Longwood. But I think that we possibly could hold off, or we can have some other innovative ways to do it and think about some different options of rezoning and looking at different plans and maps of looking at the neighborhoods that surround all the different schools and not jump from one neighborhood to another neighborhood and bypass.
And, of course, the demographics are changing pretty rapidly in this county anyway, because the housing market is heating up. People do want to come to Seminole County to use the schools up here.
Correct. And they like community schools, and we don't want to dismantle the communities.
Yeah, you know, but perhaps it's the, you know, the since I don't have Nostradamus around to be the conspiracy theorist here, perhaps it's the conspiracy theorist in me coming out. But I just wonder if some of this doesn't have to do with, you know, the extra money that they've got to spend because of the tax increase they had a couple of years ago, the half-cent tax increase,
well, we
which
don't
raised
have money.
I'm sorry?
We don't have that money anymore.
That's what I mean. You see, they get the money and they want to spend it. And I just can't help but wonder if maybe somewhere along the line, you know, well, we got this extra money, let's reopen Longwood Elementary School, right? Because you got to spend $8 million to reopen it, right?
Well, they have special money put aside for that, and basically that was part of the whole gist of this. So, I mean, luckily in our legislation right now, we do have Senator Simmons and Representative Bob Cortez, who will be our Education Appropriations Committee chairs. And we can't be any happier than that, because they are for us. And hopefully we'll be able to get some more dollars from them that'll trickle down into the schools. Because right now, looking at our numbers, we do not have the money, which is scary. But we still do have to run our schools, and we can't have portables everywhere. I get that. But the whole plan and the way it was implemented and presented was not in the best interest of our families and our students.
Abby, how much do you spend per student? Do you have any idea?
Oh, goodness. That's a great question.
No, I think it really is a great question.
You know, and I knew that number before, and I was sitting here thinking
figure?
About it. It's quite a bit of money.
It's about $8,000 or $9,000, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway,
quite a bit.
We got to take a break. When we come back, as I said, Abby's going to stick around, and Abe Katzman is going to be joining us in the next half hour. Excuse me, the next half hour of the show, not this half hour, the next half hour of the show after the 6 o'clock hour. He's in Seattle right now, and we're going to take up some of the national news with him and international news as well. And also, please go to our Facebook page and like us on Facebook if you like what you see, that is. If you don't, let us know. And you can find us at American Adversaries on Facebook. And as I always say, double check us. That is, check us in the morning, check us in the evening, because we got new stuff going up there all the time, and you don't want to miss any of it. Kathy Santomassino is out there scouring the news sources probably as we speak. All right, and speaking of speaking, we got to take a break from speaking while we take a break. So stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Don't you dread that phone call? Your child has been in a traffic accident. They've been hurt. You feel helpless. Shouldn't you be able to provide your loved ones with the tools they need to protect themselves? Wouldn't it be nice if there was an app that provides a plan of action after an accident? Do you know the first thing to do after an accident? How about the 10th or the 20th? There are a lot of things you should do to protect yourself and your loved ones. Go5-5 is an app concept for drivers. It will provide the tools you need to deal with the aftermath of an accident. It could also provide medical information to first responders if necessary. To find out more and to reserve your Go5-5 protection, go to go55.com. That's G-O-F-I-5.com. Go55.com is a Kickstarter project and subject to Kickstarter terms and conditions.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner, you need to protect your business from accidents, property damage, substance abuse, and theft. I can help you lower your risk and get an insurance discount with a program that is effective and affordable. Don't be caught with your guard down. Please call me today for a free assessment at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
A long haul on I-4 this evening. Eastbound, you're slow from Central Florida Parkway to the Turnpike. Then the fun starts. John Young Parkway up to Lake Mary for about an hour. 417 to the bridge, also heavy. Westbound side, Fairbanks to the Turnpike on the brakes. There's a crash before the Turnpike. Beach line to 535 slow, heavy past 192. 417 northbound, accident at the 408. And on the 408, a crash there before 417. You're also heavy eastbound from Mercy Drive to I-4. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5. 5 on AM 660 The Answer.
You gotta keep them separated.
All right, welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. That's right, folks, don't get separated from us, and you won't be separated from the real world. All right. 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, we have Abby Sanchez in the studio with us. She's the newly elected school board member for Seminole County. And so the Longwood thing went down last night, and it's a done deal. So we got to get your microphone up again. Got to get her mic. There we go. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, it's a done deal. I lost 4-1.
4-1.
I was a lonely.
No revotes, Abby?
No.
Oh. Not good.
So the
that was the only nay.
Yeah, you were the only nay. Did the parents applaud you when you voted by any chance?
Yes, they came up to me, or I've received numerous emails and phone calls thanking me for standing behind them and supporting them. And really the whole process, the way it went down, is just the way I feel it needed to be clarified and not rushed. And we need to look at the best interests of all of our children and not dismantle communities. And if we're going to look at a formula with diversity and understand the difference making sure that we have free and reduced lunch in the formula, what exactly does that actually mean?
Well, see, now that came up last night, too, the free and reduced lunch program in Seminole County, because there seems to be no accountability for that program. Is that correct? Or very,
correct.
Very little?
And that is actually throughout the state. But supposedly our county has 49% free and reduced lunch students in our county. That seems awfully high for a county that has a very high per capita income.
That means pretty much one out of every two students is getting
free way out of the line.
And the application is online, and they can fill it out. And the question was asked, so how many of those forms are actually checked? And it was 0.5%.
Let's get this right. 0.5% of the people who are filling out forms for free or reduced lunches, 0.5% of them are actually being checked to see if they're qualified.
Correct.
So that means one out of every 200 applications.
Right. And I was thinking about it on my drive home. I'm thinking when somebody loses their job and they file for unemployment, the unemployment agencies constantly check to make sure that you are going through the process of getting interviewed.
Right.
And you're doing everything that you need to do. And once you get a job, you lose your benefits on it. You don't receive it. Once you apply for free and reduced lunch and you qualify for it in our county, you get it for the year.
The other thing, Abby, when you look at like the income in Seminole County, you take like these schools, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. This just doesn't match up. I mean, you look at the neighborhoods who are attending your school. How can they live in these houses and they don't even make the required amount of money?
Well, right. there are.
We do have.
There is the other side of,
right.
of the street.
Oh, I understand.
Right.
And but the other side of the street isn't
50%. Well, see, the bottom line here, though, is we don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
That's exactly right. I just want to know the numbers. I mean, I am not saying that we do not have
right.
families that need. I know we do. We desperately have families that need support financially.
But we all know.
We have a wonderful system in place with the sharing center and families in need. And all
we all know that when the government gives away money, though, a percentage of that is fraudulent.
Exactly.
And if the government government's not trying to find out what that percentage is and eliminate it, then they're not doing their job. And checking one out of every 200 as sort of a quality control is probably not adequate.
Not real quality. Not real control, right?
I just want to make sure that we're doing the best we can in verifying the applications.
All right. Just have a minute left in this segment. What do you think about school choice? Because it looks like that's coming. I mean, Florida already has it to a great extent.
We're talking about crossing the lines like with the school choice bill that just passed?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're not going to have as much room as we think, as everybody thinks we're going to. So really, it's not going to really be a big, huge issue for us. But I can see it happening. And if a child wants to go to a school because maybe their parents live in that or work in that area and they need to go to that school so their parent can pick them up, I can understand that. Of course, I've seen students that travel from all the way from clear across the other, county.
Right. All right.
Too.
All right. Well, listen, you're doing great work and keep it up.
Thank you so much.
And keep us apprised as to what's going on out there in any way we or our audience can help you out.
Thank you.
All right. That's Abby Sanchez, Seminole County School Board member. We got to take a hard break. We got another hour to go. So stick around for more of the show, please.
Services Studio, FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, A new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! We're on the road!
Welcome back to the show for hour number two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. That's right, folks. We're here. We're live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And you can be a part of the show. Pick up that phone. Give us a call if you are so inclined at 407-774-8255. I am Christopher, the philosopher, political mad scientist, Hart. In the studio with me is the creator of our contest. We'll give him have him give the rules for tomorrow's contest here in a minute. Of course, that would be ex-NFLer, union boss, economist, extraordinaire, pretty good golfer, so-so, but that'd be Michael McBath.
Head of the AFL. CIO, Trumpka, Penn State guy.
How about that, you boys?
And, maybe we must have crossed each other in class.
Oh, boys.
One's a thug and the other one. All right.
Abby Sanchez had to go to another meeting, but we're going to have her back, you know, throughout as we see fit. I mean, she's a firebrand.
I like these fireballs. Man, she is perfect to be on the board. That's terrific.
That's the kind of person you want on the school board.
I know.
Looking out for the kids and looking out for the parents.
Right. Right? Because, that's exactly right. She's not looking out for the board. She's right. Looking out for the kids and the parents. That's how it's supposed to be.
Right. She didn't get that because she wanted a different job. She got that because she wanted to do
help
something,
get
better
something better
for the schools in Seminole County. So
great
more
for
power
Abby.
To Abby Sanchez. Absolutely. Replacing her, though, in the studio is Mary Lee of Vacation Travel Planners. How
Yay!
You been?
Happy New Year.
Yeah, she just did up a new commercial with new specials, and she's going to be filling us in as we go along through the day on some great cruise deals coming up. If you guys, you know, it's time to start planning vacations.
Oh, I know. You're headed
right
into the spring.
Absolutely.
You got it. That's exactly right.
Spring, summer.
Spring break.
Time for the Caribbean.
Fall.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. This is the time to book those cruises, right? And sitting with her is her brother, her husband, Joseph. Oh, brother. Her husband, Joseph.
This is in Tennessee.
Joseph Turp. Yes. All right. And then we got the man himself, the co-host of the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour and host of his very own talk show called Talk to the Experts right here every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Aubrey Kahn.
The man.
The man. There he is.
Well, that's pretty frightening, Aubrey.
You're fired.
You're fired. And Abe Katzman's going to join us in a little while. He's still in Seattle, so he's actually a few hours, by 3 hours behind us. So he's going to be checking in here in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about Obama, you know, giving all that money to the Palestinians. And but in the meantime, before we get to that, want to talk about what Trump's been up to today. I mean, we're going to get to the point where we have to spend the whole show just going through point by point.
I know, but how
Trump
exciting
did.
Is it, though? I mean, I know many people, honestly, they call me up in the morning, they're so excited about what's coming today and what's making America better.
I know.
It's great. It's like absolutely great.
It's like every day is a Christmas of sorts, because, you know, good news is coming, right?
And you imagine the Democrats when they get up in the morning, right? Oh, no, this is going to be another nightmare. Yeah, it's going to get worse and worse as these things begin to perform, too.
Yeah, but we did that for 8 years.
Well, that's right.
That is true.
Yeah.
Payback's hell, right?
Payback's what?
What goes around comes around. That's right.
Oh, boy.
But Trump's making the most of this, and this is what's the real problem for the Democrats, is he is putting policies into motion and implementing executive orders that's going to make life better for so many millions of Americans in this country. And it's going to be hard to deny, and because it's going to be so easy to see. Today, he went to the Department of Homeland Security and followed through on a couple of campaign promises. He has suspended, at least for 1 month, the any Syrian, Yemeni, Iraqi, Libyan, Somalian, or Sudanese from coming into this country as refugees. He would stop the refugees from coming until we had a better system of vetting them. And if they determine after a month that they don't have it, then they'll extend it, perhaps indefinitely.
So what time's the march tomorrow, Chris?
Well,
no, but you know what? He's doing. What did he say when he ran?
This is
exactly what I'm going to do.
Right.
And that's why the markets are going crazy. He's doing what he said.
Right. And, by the way, he could expand the list. They say other countries are being considered to be added to the list as well. A couple of likely countries would be Afghanistan and maybe Pakistan, right, and maybe some of the Far Eastern countries even. So they're all being considered, but these are the ones that they're starting with. And then he signed an executive order to build the wall. And he's putting this in motion, and there are a number of ways they can go about doing this. Did you know that the Department of Homeland Security alone gives tens of millions of dollars every year to Mexico, ostensibly to keep terrorists and illegals from coming into our country, right?
Do you fight. Think that's worked, or do you think the officials get the money and it disappears?
Well, obviously, we're not getting our money's worth.
I was going to say, we're not getting our money's worth, so I think I know where it is.
Well, so what he is proposing is to find programs like that, and instead of sending that money to Mexico,
put it into the wall.
You put it into the wall.
Right.
Exactly. And Mexico pays for the wall. If no other way, then we quit giving them our money to spend the way they want. Right?
And, you know, Chris, the one thing, too, when these people that are illegal here are working and sending money back, they're talking billions of dollars they send back. You know, if we can grab the money and tax it and or whatever, that's fair.
It's exactly right.
Pay the wall.
Exactly right. There are numerous ways of doing that.
Yeah, many, many ways.
Yeah, but after the wall gets built, the only real change is they're going to have to send it back via airmail. As opposed to,
hand delivery.
Yeah, exactly.
Personal delivery. Climb the wall. Here's your check.
They will have to go over the wall somehow. That's for international stuff. Now, for domestic stuff, he signed an executive orders saying he is stopping federal funding from going to sanctuary cities.
Right.
Now, some cities have been designated contrary to what city officials want it to be. Supposedly, Sanford is considered a sanctuary city, but the city officials say, no, we're not.
Well, why is it designated a sanctuary city?
because whoever makes the designations made it. But
somebody in Washington,
right? But there are, and this will have to be spelled out in the order. But there are cities who openly declare to be sanctuary cities, and I believe this is who he's going after. That would include primarily, or predominantly, I should say, San Francisco and Chicago. Right? Now, there are numerous other ones out there around the country that openly proclaim to be sanctuary cities. They're all being notified. You keep that nonsense up, no more federal funding. All right? And then he officially put Chicago on notice. You stop the carnage, or we will. Or he will send in federal authorities to deal with the situation.
And don't you believe that when we're talking about sanctuary cities, it's going to be quite obvious. He's going to work on San Francisco. He's going to work. They're in the public eye. There are also people who are running it that shouldn't be in any form of politics. He's going to go after those two as the example to set everybody else straight. I think it's inevitable. It starts, and it's going to start soon.
Yeah. And he has also ordered an investigation into voter fraud.
Right.
And as we talked about last night, you know, the administration's been throwing this number around, 3 or 4 million. By the way, that came out early on. I believe Drudge was running it on their website. We reported it. Legal Immigrants for America have it on their website. And the problem is no one knows. And perhaps with an investigation, we might now know how many people actually voted fraudulently.
And he did mention he's going to focus on two states primarily.
Right. California and
New York.
New York.
Right.
That's right.
Do you think they're great states to focus on?
Well, I know California
is. You think they're going to catch a great deal of fraud? Unequivocally. He's right. He's just like everything he says. He has common sense.
Well,
that's where it is.
Not only that, but he's looking at two different kinds of fraud. In California, it's going to be illegal alien type fraud.
Right.
In New York, it'll be double voting.
Right. That's exactly
people
right.
who live in New York and who are but have, say, vacation homes or whatever, you know, the snowbirds.
Yeah, but you still have millions of dead people that are on voter rolls all across America, and a lot of them vote.
Well, multiple times. Remarkable.
But we've already got people that live in New York and have a winter home here who vote in both states.
That's what I'm talking about.
They do it all the time.
Right, and that's what...
And it's always Democrats.
And that's what he's going to be looking into on the East Coast side, is that type of voter fraud.
That's why you need voter ID by driver's license.
Right. So he's once again done a month's worth of Obama's work in one day, and all for the better, because once again, he is working to secure the nation, secure the border, secure us from terrorists coming into our nation, either by invitation or by their own sneaking in, with the, banning the refugees and building the wall. And then he's working to clean up our cities. In this sanctuary city nonsense. And he has also ordered federal authorities to determine if people who are in custody already are illegal aliens.
So we
haven't been running that check.
Right.
Under Obama, an illegal could be arrested and nobody ever know that an illegal is in custody. But now we will know because the authorities are being ordered to find out.
Now that he announced this, that he's doing what we expected him to say, now how long do you think it will take the Democrats to come out and say that he's out there to suppress the vote and take advantage of the poor?
Look.
Now, don't you think that's coming?
It is. But here's the way Trump sees it. Haven't they already been saying that?
You got it.
Right.
You go do what you got to do and don't worry about it, which he never did anyway.
Right. Exactly.
So let's just get this problem resolved.
This is what a leader does.
That's exactly right.
He makes decisions and he implements them. He doesn't sit around and be all thoughtful and
he's heard all the stories about what voter suppression into the poor and all. He's over this. I got to get the job done.
That's it.
And you know what? You started, half all the people voted for you are for this, right? Do you want to be disenfranchised of your vote by these people getting 2-3 votes? No. He's absolutely on the right track again.
Not only that, but he's going to be winning people over. We had that caller in the first hour.
Right. Andrea.
Right.
Yeah, that's terrific.
As soon as she found out about him and now sees what he's doing, You know, people who are paying attention and understand that the nation itself needed some attention,
right?
Not all the attention seekers so much, but the nation itself needed the attention, and that's what this guy's doing. And if you take care of our sweet, beautiful, God-blessed America, she will take care of us.
Right. I mean, it was like the labor situation yesterday. When those people that are Democrats see him with the labor leaders, and the labor leaders, all of them, are praising him for helping maintain and build jobs, what do you think I'll become if I'm in the union? I think I'll become a Republican. Because I know they haven't done anything for me for years.
All right. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we got a caller on the line. Abe Katzman will be joining us as well. And Mayor Lee's got a whole,
it's cruise time.
A whole stack of great deals. And we're going to go through a few of those as well. So we got a lot to do here tonight. And don't forget, you got Larry Elder at 7, Nick LoCicero with WDW News tonight at 9 tonight on these very same stations. A lot of great live radio right here tonight to go. So don't go away. The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. Don't you dread that phone call? Your child has been in a traffic accident. They've been hurt. You feel helpless. Shouldn't you be able to provide your loved ones with the tools they need to protect themselves? Wouldn't it be nice if there was an app that provides a plan of action after an accident? Do you know the first thing to do after an accident? How about the 10th or the 20th? There are a lot of things you should do to protect yourself and your loved ones. Go5-5 is an app concept for drivers. It will provide the tools you need to deal with the aftermath of an accident. It could also provide medical information to first responders if necessary. To find out more and to reserve your Go5-5 protection, go to go55.com. That's G-O-F-I-5.com. Go55.com is a Kickstarter project and subject to Kickstarter terms and conditions. Folks, please join me in welcoming our newest sponsor to the program, Patriot Home Funding Incorporated. John Siebert and Pierce Outlaw are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and each has over 30 years' experience originating mortgages right here in Central Florida. They offer their customers the very best in service, experience, and expertise. Patriot Home Funding's motto is, "We say yes when the banks say no." They are known for routinely getting mortgages closed easier, faster, and with less cost than anybody else in the industry. If you are having trouble getting approved, getting the runaround from your lender, feel like you're paying too much, or just want the very best mortgage experts in Central Florida working to make your American dream come true, call the leading experts at Patriot Home Funding today. Patriot Home Funding is known for thinking outside the box and offering solutions, not excuses. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida and is an equal housing lender. Call them at 877-377-8123. 877-377-8123, or visit them at myphf.com.
Patriot Home Funding Incorporated is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, number NMLS 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner, you need to protect your business from accidents, property damage, substance abuse, and theft. I can help you lower your risk and get an insurance discount with a program that is effective and affordable. Don't be caught with your guard down. Please call me today for a free assessment at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Got a caller on the line, and then we'll get to Abe Katzman. Rick, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being there.
Evening, gentlemen.
Howdy.
Hey, when we talk about voter fraud, there are so many different kinds of it, and that's what people don't realize. There's only the illegals that vote. There's not only people that multiple vote. There's the dead voting.
Yeah.
There's the people that look at the voter registration rolls at the end of the day on election day, and then they cast the ballots for the people that didn't show up.
Yeah.
There's a case of a guy who has been voting in every election since 1908. That means he'd have to be 125 years old.
I want to know what he's been eating.
Yeah, he's our idol.
You know, everybody assumes that right. there's one kind of voter fraud, but yeah. there is so many.
Right, yeah.
So what they need to do is purge the dead from the voter rolls. There's just so many things that are going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The Democrats would never win an election.
Oh, wouldn't that be awful? All right, yeah, I appreciate that. You pointing that out, Rick. You're absolutely right. It comes in all shapes, sizes, colors, and methods. All right, we got Abe Katzman on the line with us right now. Abe, how you doing tonight?
Okay, I guess I should be looking forward to voting in like the 2088 election.
Oh, Abe, you're out in Seattle, right?
Actually, I just came into New York today.
Because I know they had another march today or something over the pipeline in Seattle.
Yeah, they've already started the protests. Yep. Real quick, just one real quick question before we get into the other stuff. Abe, do you have to show a voter ID, a photo ID to vote in Israel?
Yes, you do.
All right. Works pretty good there, I think, right?
I think so. Not that there aren't attempts at fraud. Sometimes people who aren't going to be able to make it hand their IDs to other people. But basically, it would probably be a lot worse if there were no voter ID.
Yeah, okay.
And voter ID keeps it pretty clean.
All right. The inauguration. Just your general thoughts about the inauguration and what Trump's been up to since.
Well, I think that, you know, there is the famous story that was told of Barry Goldwater when he was at the convention speech and everybody was, you know, he came out defending what he had been talking about all along. And somebody said, "Oh, my God, he's running as Goldwater." So I think the same thing is happening here with Trump. I think people are saying, "Oh my God, he's actually doing the things that he said he was going to do." So, it's okay with me. I think he's doing just fine so far. I think he set the tone. Some people said it was angry. I thought it was plain spoken. Everybody could understand it. He might not be a poet, but I think everybody got the gist of what he was saying at that inauguration speech. And, he's not kidding around.
You know, there's great stuff in that speech. We've actually incorporated part of it into our opening because it is so uplifting. It is so God bless America's type stuff, you know, and I think people missed that. A lot of people didn't want to see it, but I think people missed that part of the speech. But obviously,
you're not an angry woman.
With a big hat.
Not the last time I looked, anyway.
But
no.
We got one sitting here, I can tell you that.
I resemble that remark.
But other than that, everybody in the markets seems to be liking this. A lot of people, I guess, in Israel are probably liking this. The prime minister, I understand, has been on the phone with Trump numerous times. But first, we got to take a break. But when we come back, just sort of give us a feel of what you think it's going to be between Israel and the United States now with Donald Trump as president. Once again, Abe Katzman's coming to us live from New York City, skyscrapers and everything. So stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We will be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. And, of course, if you listen during the 5 o'clock hour, you know that that is the theme music for one Abe Katzman, who's coming to us live from New York City tonight. And, Abe, just real quick, the prime minister must be elated that Donald Trump is at the helm and doing what he's doing. A good thing's got to be ahead for Israel, don't you think?
I think so. As long as you know, internal politics there doesn't mess things up. But yes, I think what they're doing, they're not going to gloat. They're just going to go ahead and do what they want to do, and know that they have at least the tacit support of the United States government. And they're not doing anything that's so unusual. I mean, if you go back 8 years,
for instance, this announcement, they just had this announcement of 2,500 new homes that are going to be built in settlements. Most of these are in what they call the settlement blocks, and these are areas that the Bush administration essentially committed to favoring that Israel would keep these if there would be any kind of two-state solution with the Palestinians. So this is not anything that, as much as the Palestinians are screaming about this, it's really not anything that's, that compromises anything on the ground. But I do think that it's got to wake them up. They've got to realize that what they've been doing until now is not going to be working anymore.
Hey, Abe, another question is, do you think with Trump's support that Israel will become more aggressive with their enemies?
Well, I think so. I think it's going to allow Israel a certain sense of security to know that they don't constantly have to be looking over their shoulder at you know, for who's going to be criticizing them. I mean, as an example, you remember in the war against Hamas, against Gaza a couple of years ago, when all of a sudden the Obama administration held up arms shipments in the middle of a war. I mean, I know it's not a huge war, but it's a war. And I just don't think that sort of thing is going to happen under the Trump administration. Quite the contrary. I think it's going to be a lot more like, you know, President Nixon in 1973, when Israel was attacked in the Yom Kippur War and things looked very bad. There was a serious airlift of American weaponry to Israel, which really helped. I mean, tremendous. And Nixon apparently asked Kissinger how much, you know, what they were providing, and he gave the itemized list, and Nixon said, double it. I think that's the kind of man that we have in the White House now when it comes to Israel.
And he has appointed Nikki Haley to the UN, and it turns out that she's going to be a big proponent for Israel. Thinks that the UN has been, you know, bending way over backwards to accommodate the people who hate Israel.
Yeah, and, you know, the effect is there already. After the settlement announcement, the UN Security Council, our good friends, met to discuss the new construction, and they decided they were going to take no action at this time. Now, why would they take no action? It was just a couple of weeks ago that they condemned all the construction and said it's all illegal and occupied Palestinian territory, etc. But they're not going to get anything past the U.S. this time. And I don't think that they want to just make a bunch of, you know, throw out a bunch of resolutions that are going to just get shot down by the U.S. So they might even be afraid that it'll make the U.S. look good in the eyes of many people. So they don't want to give that opportunity either. I think that I think it's already having an effect. I think that in many ways, all over, both domestic and foreign policy, the things, even the little things that Trump has done, following through on things that he said, kind of move the goalposts in every other area, because everybody sees that there is a seriousness to this. You can call it a negotiating technique if you want, and if it is, it's a pretty good one. But I think it is really shifting the ground quicker than people realize.
Hey, Abe, on this Palestinian situation, the 231 million plus that is being shipped over, I guess, that our good friend Obama, you know, a day or so before he departs, what do you think about that? Do you think they'll ultimately get it? You know, you guys got to be excited about putting that in the hands of these wonderful people.
Yeah.
Well, just as a little bit of background, Congress had actually approved this funding in their budgets for 2015 and 2016, but congressmen had put holds on the funding.
Yeah, I think there were two of them.
Ed Royce is the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and also Kay Granger, who's from, I think, the Appropriations Committee. And the Palestinian Authority had violated certain promises they were going to make about certain promises that they made as conditions to this funding, such as they had promised not to seek membership in certain international organizations,
And there were all these understandings with Congress, and they violated them. So Congress said, hold on. Now, usually these holds are respected, but they're not legally binding. So Friday morning, a couple of hours, while Trump is probably being driven to the inauguration, the Obama administration, with our good friend John Kerry, very quietly just decided to release the money. And this is money supposedly going to support political and security reforms and good governance and rule of law. That's what I think of when I think of Mahmoud Abbas.
Yeah.
Hamas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, rule of law. All right.
But there are strict conditions that Congress puts on who gets U.S. tax dollars, and as there should be.
Yeah.
So now, though, it's not so clear that they're going to that the money is going to get into the Palestinians' hands. The State Department has said not so fast. The new State Department, they're reviewing the payment, and they've got some the kind of opaque language about how they need to ensure that it aligns with the Trump administration's priorities.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that. But to me, what this underscores, you know, everybody leading up to the election and probably still now is terrified that Trump is going. You know, he's impulsive and he's thin-skinned and he fights back and somebody's going to insult him and he's going to start a war as a result.
Right.
But you know, the people who those people, where are they criticizing? The people who are really acting like children who have been insulted, who are Obama and Kerry, who decided to, you know, they lost their, they're acting out. They're, okay, so they'll violate the usual rules just to spite Israel, just to give the money to the Palestinians, just to make this condemnation of Israel, just to support, an anti-Israel policy forward. And then they did other things also. You know, they put Ben Rhodes. Did we mention this last week? They put Ben Rhodes on the U.S. Holocaust Commission.
Oh,
Ben
man.
Rhodes, who practically engineered the Iran nuclear deal, or at least its successful passage and how it was spun in the press, he's on the Holocaust, U.S. Holocaust Commission. That's just unbelievable.
Hey, one other question. I saw that you implemented a third level of missile defense. You know, what are they, this third level sling? I mean, how effective do you think this really is? I just have such an uncomfortable feeling thinking that all these people live in the United States, think that their missile defense is going to protect them. Do you really believe that if you get showered with a bunch of missiles?
I think it depends, and it depends from whom. I don't know if you saw, they just had apparently a resoundingly successful test of one of the layers. And that's called David's Sling.
Right,
so we're familiar with Iron Dome, which takes out the very short-range rockets, and that did a phenomenal job. Apparently, the most complicated test that David's Sling has faced, and that's for mid-range missiles, was successful, a joint U.S. and Israeli test. And then there's the Arrow, which is the long-range for heavier missiles. I don't know. The one thing that makes me uncomfortable about, look, I love having missile defense if it works, but I would almost rather have the other side know that if they shoot anything at us, we're going to obliterate them.
Yeah, they're going to disappear.
That's missile defense.
That's exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And perhaps they will begin to get that impression with the new administration working closely with Israel, which I bet they're going to be doing a lot more of. You know, his first day on the job, General Mattis ordered like three times as many airstrikes on Sunday in Syria than I think Obama had done in the prior month.
That's right. 21 strikes and you're out.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're not going to sit back and wait. They're going to take the fight to the other side, don't you think, Abe? Getting back to what you...
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're... I think the world realized this beforehand. I mean, you saw there were a lot of moves made by Iran, by Syria, by Russia, a lot of things that they wanted to get in under the wire while Obama was still president. And I think they recognize that it's not The rules have changed, and they're not allowed to walk all over U.S. policy anymore without repercussions.
And Israel as well, I dare say.
I think so.
Yeah, when Trump says he's got your back, by golly, he's got your back. One last question. One of the things he signed today, executive order, was to begin the process of building the wall. Israel has a fence wall, if you were. Does it work?
Yep. Israel actually has two of them. They've got one on the Egyptian border that has done a very effective job, and that was actually to stop African infiltrators from coming in, because there are thousands of them in Israel. And there's another one, which is kind of the anti-terror barrier between that runs through parts of the West Bank, kind of separating certain heavily populated Palestinian areas from Jewish areas. And they're very effective. Look, I just happened to look to notice today. I saw that, you know, in September, I think Hungary, with all the waves of migrants that have been coming through there, decided to build a fence with their border with Syria, with Serbia, 110 miles, and they did it in like a month. And I think they're building along their other borders now also. So there are, I don't know how many, you know, dozens of these fences in the world. I don't know why the U.S. shouldn't have one. And if Donald Trump is building it, it's going to be the best fence. It's going to be the best wall ever.
The best that anybody can build.
With a big, beautiful door.
That's right.
With a big, beautiful door in it.
Walk right through.
Don't forget that. Hey, you know, it's that old saying, good fences make good neighbors.
That's right.
So
Obama just built a fence around his new house.
In Washington, D.C.?
A wall.
A wall, right. A brick wall.
It wasn't to keep Michelle in.
All right, Abe, listen, thanks so much for coming on tonight, and you travel safe. And where will you be next week?
I will be next Wednesday. I'll be returning to Israel.
Okay, well, then Monday we'll talk to you once again
Monday
in New York.
We'll be here.
Okay, great. All right, we'll be looking for you at the Trump Towers there.
Excellent. Okay.
All right. Once again, thank you, Abe.
All right,
we'll be praying for you and Israel. And that is Abe Katzman with an S. You can find his great work, his columns, at abekatzman.com. Okay, tomorrow, contest night. What's it going to be this week?
Okay, I think some of our people sitting right here will probably like this, but our contest is going to be very simple. We know that as Trump began his inaugural speech on Friday at 12 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
We know that Barack was sitting there, his beautiful wife, Michelle, Melania, I'm sorry, Hillary was there, and Bill. What was the exact thought in their mind at 12 o'clock when they're out, right?
Well, my feeling is on
Brock. I think at that moment he was probably thinking, you know what? I can finally come out of the closet. Now, Michelle, she's probably thinking, if I could only look like Melania, right? Now, how about Bill? We know what that pig's thinking. If only Ivanka would have met me 20 years ago. And finally, for Hillary, I just wish they could find a dress that would make me look good. I don't think that'll ever happen, Hillary. So come up with your four thoughts for these four people the minute that Trump took the stage and began his speech.
All right.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Just to interject there, I think Obama's thought was, I wish this guy would hurry up. I'm going to miss my tea time.
Well, you got a contestant right there.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the idea. Tomorrow
you
night.
You got it.
And you'll be playing for the best prize package in all of Central Florida radio.
It is.
That's that life-size cutout of whoever you want it to be.
$125 value.
Compliments of Dino and Janice Rentos, Dino Rentos Studios. Mm-hmm. You'll get a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, only the finest Italian restaurant.
And you get golf lessons, so that's probably worth $50-$60. Right?
From Pasquale. Make sure
or maybe it's reverse.
And you'll get a $10 gift card to Tijuana Flats, compliments of Rick Brown, who will be in to help us judge the contest. And today is Wednesday, so that means it's Magic Wednesday at the Tijuana Flats in Oviedo. He's got two in Oviedo, one in Winter Springs in Avalon Park. If you go in there wearing magic attire, any kind of magic apparel, you'll get great discounts at Tijuana Tijuana
Thank
Flats.
Thank God, Chris, it's not based upon Magic winning that day.
It's just all during the season.
Just show up, you get
There'd
that.
There'd never be anything free then.
I know, like, that's why'd you raise the prices on us?
It will be. It's just as long as the season is going on, it's Magic Wednesday every Wednesday at those Tijuana Flats. And this Saturday at the Tijuana Flats in Oviedo at Tuscaloosa Boulevard and Aloma Avenue, starting at 8 p.m., it's going to be trivia night with Curtis Earth. That's starting this Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Oviedo Tijuana Flats intersection of Tuscaloosa and Aloma. There'll be happy hour pricing, prizes, and gifts. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And for the new trivia buffs out there,
beers,
you're always looking for a new game, right? Here's one right here.
Mm-hmm. That will be good.
Aubrey?
For a moment, I thought you said trivial night, and I was thinking, so that's only Democrats?
All right. No trivial stuff around here. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Samara Lee about some specials that she's got going on out there. And I'm going to remind you about the Kickstarter Go55 project, which kicked off yesterday. All right, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dino Rentos Studios as a new sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. At Dino Rentos Studios, they custom manufacture displays, props for events, parties, trade shows, retailers. They can make just about anything for just about anybody. That's right. DinoRentosStudios.com is the website. You spell Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S, Dino Rentos Studios. The phone number is 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089. Want to decorate a party for that special grandchild or child? Want to decorate a party for an office party? They can do it at Dino Rentos Studios, and they can do it within your budget. Dino Rentos Studios, that's where they make just about anything, and if they can't make it, nobody can. That's DinoRentosStudios.com, 800-704-7089. Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. We're here until 7 o'clock. Then Larry Elder picks up the ball. He runs it until 9 o'clock. Then tonight, Nick LoCicero, his show live, WDW News Tonight. That is 9 to 11 o'clock tonight. It's a really delightful show. You really love it. They have a lot of fun, and it's the contest. What was the contest you're going to do this week?
Nick does such a good job.
What's the contest this week?
We are playing a version of the game Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Jeopardy. Yeah. That's right. That's
and
tonight.
And prizes, Nick? Anything that gets me overexcited?
Yeah, we have some Mickey ear hats. We have some lithographs. We have some cool
Daniel
stuff.
Daniel passes?
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, all right. That's tonight at 9 o'clock right here on these same stations. All right. Well, the last couple of days we've been telling you about this great Kickstarter event that's going on. It's an idea for an app that'll help you prepare for your, in case you were ever in an automobile accident, and then what to do after the accident occurs. And if you'd like to find out more about it, you can go to the website go55.com, G-O-F-I, the number 5.com, or just go straight to kickstarter.com. And punch in Go55, and it's right there on Kickstarter. The event kicked off yesterday. It's running for 32 days. If you're interested, they've got various premiums, rewards, if you will, to make pledges. And we're going to try to push this thing over the top so we can get this app built out. So Go55 on Kickstarter. All right. Vacation season's coming up. For some people, it's all the time, like McBath over here. But
absolutely.
What you got going on? I just in your ad, I heard you got the cruises to Cuba now, mm-hmm. right? And a 7-nighter for $800 in a balcony. Did I hear that right?
Mm-hmm.
To Cuba? No.
Tell us about it.
It's with Fathom Cruise Lines.
Okay.
And it's a Florida resident special.
Is it sail out of Fort Lauderdale?
No, Miami.
Miami, okay. All right, so a Florida special, $7.99, seven-night cruise, balcony. Did I hear that right?
It's a balcony, yes. It's very, very limited.
Okay. What else you got out there?
$7.99 also pretty much will get you a seven-night to Alaska for the Alaska season coming up.
When does that start?
In May.
In May?
May through September is Alaska
Chris,
season.
Chris, I've done that cruise. That's the best. It is. You get
Alaska.
A balcony, and you can see the animals on the mountainside and the whales. It is fabulous, but you need a balcony. It's really
A balcony is the best way to go in Alaska.
Absolutely.
It really is.
And that's $7.99 for a seven-night cruise balcony?
No, that's for starting right in an inside cabin.
Okay.
Balcony's going to be a little bit more.
Okay. And what about something sailing out of Canaveral over here? What do you got going over there?
If you're doing a Caribbean cruise, I've got Caribbean cruises starting at like $4.99 per person for 7 nights.
$4.99 for 7 nights.
Wow. Is that unbelievable?
I mean, you couldn't even stay in a rat
trap
hotel.
No, you can't stay at a hotel.
That, right?
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
I even found a really neat itinerary for a 11-night Southern Caribbean cruise.
Right.
Very unique. You actually originate in Barbados.
Right.
And it
that is unique.
In Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
So it's basically a directional cruise and almost a stop almost every day doing all these different Caribbean islands. And I believe the starting rate on that was $6.99 per person.
11 days.
11 nights. Yeah.
How could you stay in a hotel unless it's Hotel
you
6
can't.
Or something?
Right.
No.
You can't.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And realistically, you're just buying the airfare one way down to Barbados.
Right, because you come back.
And then you come into Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And then realistically, I mean, it's going to be cheaper just to like rent a car the one way or drive your car down to Fort Lauderdale, park it there, you know, and do the airfare from there. And this way your car will be there when you get home and you just go home.
The cruise is out of Port Canaveral. The 3-day ones. Leave Thursday, come back Sunday. Stay in, one of the islands there, then go to an outer island and then back. What are they running for?
They're starting at, I think it's $288 per person.
See, that's like Thursday, Friday,
great
Saturday
weekend, John.
All the food. And then when you go in the outer islands, they do a giant cookout for you. It is a phenomenal trip.
Oh, it is.
For minimal money.
And Marilee can help you with any and all of your vacation travel planning, whether it's a cruise, whether you want to fly somewhere and fly back. She's got riverboat cruises. And she'll also help you set up cave climbing.
Iceland.
What is that? Spelunking.
Oh,
right?
Iceland is really hot right now.
Iceland's hot? I don't want to go there. It's hot. It means you'll melt and I'll be soaked.
If you go to the Blue Springs in Iceland.
All right. Vacationtravelplanners.com. Just spell it all out. Vacationtravelplanners.com. And if you want to go there and sign up, she'll send you out heads ups when she gets great deals. She's got a travel planning guide she can send you. If you want to call Marilee, 321-251-4777. 321-251-4777. And as we said, now's the time, you know, to start planning for those great vacations.
Absolutely, because spring break's already starting to fill up. Summer vacation's already starting to fill up.
Yep. That Alaska window, Marilee, that's just a fabulous cruise.
Oh, all right.
Okay. All right. So we'll be back tomorrow night and with the latest out of the Trump White House and the Trump bump.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow, Chris? I can't wait to go to bed so I can wake up and see new exciting things.
It's hard to say.
We're going to the moon?
No. It's hard to say, but I dare say it's going to be a lot of
something
stuff
exciting,
that
right?
we like. Right. Exactly. So great changes going on in Washington, D.C., and of course, we're going to be here to analyze them and help everyone understand them, if you will, and the political ramifications wrapped in and around them. All right, once again, Larry Elder next, then Nick LoCicero, WDW News tonight at 9 o'clock. Tune in for that. stick around, if you will. And don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow night with our contest. Get your contest entries ready. What was on the mind of Barack and Michelle Obama and Bill and Hillary Clinton as Donald Trump took the oath of office?
Let your imagination run wild.
All right. Night, everybody.
Total Roof Services Studio, FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.